And welcome back to Coast with Kayla Ambrose, her book, The Awakened Dreamer. And we're going to take your questions and your dream stories next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Kayla Ambrose with us as we talk dreams this hour. And it's going to go by very, very fast. We haven't talked about sleepwalkers or those who talk in their sleep at night. What causes that, Kayla?
I wish I knew. The jury's still out on that and exactly what causes people to do that. But I did both in my childhood.
Are their eyes awake when they're sleepwalking? I mean, are they open?
I've heard cases of both, but most times the eyes are open from what I've heard.
And what about those who talk in their sleep?
When they're talking in their sleep, it seems like their eyes are closed. They're a little more restful. They're not moving, but the eyes are open when they're moving. But they don't seem to really be connected in the same way. So it's such a mystery. How do they walk around and not bump into things? I opened a door and went outside and sat on the front porch at my grandmother's house, and she found me out there sitting on the swing. So I don't know how they move around and do that. They're still trying to figure it out.
My little grandson, I think, walks in his sleep. And my son would tell me that they'd find him sitting on the steps of the house, coming down from upstairs. And he would just be sitting there with his eyes open at 4 o'clock in the morning, just sitting there.
Yeah, I wish I knew. I really did. It's a mystery. I would like to know why I did it. But we always want to go outside when it happens. It's funny.
Back to daydreams again. How powerful are they in order to accomplish things and get things done?
I think you could change your life with daydreams. No kidding. Because it's visualization. And when you begin to focus your thoughts into things that you believe that can come true, you're altering your reality. And, that's the law of attraction. That's all those things that people have been trying to teach, that what you think becomes what you believe is what you take action on, and it soon becomes your new reality. So if you're willing to do the work and put the practice in and focus on that like any other meditative practice or exercise, I do believe you really can change your life in any way that you want.
You can become more creative?
Absolutely, 100%.
And you could also become more intuitive or psychic?
Intuitive, psychic, creative, financially in a better place, build your career, change your love life. The possibilities are anything that you can dream of. Just like, who said that? Disney. You know, what you can dream, what you can dream and about and think about, you can achieve.
All right, let's go to the phones. First-time caller, Steve in St. Louis. Hi, Stephen, go ahead.
Years ago, when I would be dreaming, I would jump up in the air, and if I didn't come down, then I would realize that I was dreaming, and then I could go and I would fly around or do whatever I wanted to do. And it seems like nowadays, almost all the time, I realize that I'm dreaming, and I basically just do whatever I want. I do fantasies or I fly around a lot. Is that a normal thing, or is there something more than I could be doing?
It sounds like lucid dreaming, Kayla.
Absolutely, it is. You sound like a natural lucid dreamer that doesn't need much education to go further. But yes, you can. You can go further. Like, you seem to understand that you're able to fly around and move, and you can direct that any way you want. You could change the scenario. You could change how you're flying. You could change where you're going. You could go to outer space, anywhere you want. Now that you're conscious and realizing that, and if you're comfortable doing so, try some new scenarios, because it sounds like you're already doing it.
Is there anything that people can do to lucid dream a little bit more?
Yes, like if they haven't, like Stephen obviously has got it down, but if it's new to someone, what you do by starting, and remember I said, even to remember a dream, you consciously state that you want to remember a dream. So in this case, you would consciously state that you want a lucid dream, and you're starting to program that. And you can even describe the dream. You can say, tonight I want to have a dream that I'm in a jungle, and I'm walking through the jungle, and I'm going to meet an elephant, and the elephant's going to be nice, and it's going to take me for a ride.
It's going to step on me.
Exactly. You'll direct the dream, and you can plan an action, and you can say, in this lucid dream, I want to be aware. So as soon as I'm tired of being in the jungle, I'm aware of it, and You know, I can change it. And you might even program, if you want, a plan that has an action that will announce to you that you're aware in your dream. So you might say, when I'm aware in a dream, I will show that to myself by clapping my hands or singing a song or whistling something. And that reminds you, okay, I'm in this dream and I can change it. And then you become, you're observing. You're aware that you're in a dream, but you're watching it. It's like watching a TV show, but all of a sudden you're the star of the show and you can rewrite the script. You can change anything you want. And then as you get more comfortable with it, you make a small change first. Maybe if you're riding the elephant, you add a headdress to the elephant, you change your outfit, you make small changes, and then you can make bigger ones. And the other important thing to do with that is to practice stopping the dream as well, that you're aware that you can stop. Like, I'm assuming Stephen realizes when he's tired of flying, he stops, and then he goes into a deeper sleep or onto something else. So you practice, like, having the elephant turn around or go a different direction, and eventually stopping. And then you keep doing that. You incorporate, once you're comfortable, then you start incorporating real-world scenarios. So you might say, I want a lucid dream tonight about two different careers that I'm trying to decide. Should I take this job or this job? And you can lucid dream where you're trying each of them out, how it feels, how you look, what the place looks like, and play with all these scenarios in your mind during this lucid dream till you see that feels better. Here's the choice I'm going to make. So it's endless. You can just run as many scenarios. It's like the TV show about you all night long.
Some of the cool things about dreaming, too, is if you're in a good one and you wake up, and then you have this ability to go back into that dream and pick it up where you left off.
Yes, and make it even better. Add more to it and say, this is great. Now let's take this dream and all this good stuff's happening, but let's have it be in Hawaii now.
Well, how do you explain this, too? I had a call from somebody a couple of years ago who had a dream of the person they were in love with. They wanted to meet. They hadn't met yet, but had a dream of her. And he's at the airport, and coming down the aisle is that person that he dreamed of. And he just looks at her, and he goes, oh, my God, I have to interrupt you. But and she said, oh, it's you. You were in my dream. They both had the same dream. How can that happen?
Well, if you believe in reincarnation like I do, you know that souls come back to meet each other and lifetime after lifetime. And so as they begin to, as I call it, I'll step into psychic mode for a minute, but when I'm reading someone psychically, I see in their aura what I call karmic markers. They're these little, look like little bitty squares, and I'll pull them out, and it's almost like a little video. And these are karmic markers that you've brought back each lifetime. And in these karmic markers, I see they're like a beacon sending out a symbol, a signal, and they're attracting people or experiences into your life, each one of these markers. So if you're destined to meet someone, it's going to happen. Know that the love that you're seeking eventually is going to find you, that person, and because you have a marker that's out and sending that signal. So for many people, when they're open to it and it's the right time, like I said, the universe is always trying to send us this information and guide us, and the dreams sometimes are the easiest way to get that message to us that, hey, this person, pay attention when you see this person has meaning, this is a reason it's happening. And we might call that destiny, but it's really just following a long line of energy that we've been in lifetime after lifetime.
Let's go to Elaine now, Fort Myers, Florida, wild card line. Good morning, Elaine.
Hi, good morning, George. Good morning. What she was just saying was, what I'm going to tell is that also I do have the same thing where I can't get out of it. If I partially wake up, I go back into it and I can't get out of it unless I just completely wake up. But what I have just about every night is dreams that I can't do something, I can't get there, I can't find something, and I don't know how I create all these different scenarios. If I was awake, I'd never be able to create them, but it's always something like that. And it seems a lot recently, even though I don't work anymore and I'm retired and everything, that I'm at some former job I used to have, and I can't I'm doing something wrong and I can't do it right. And I keep doing it over and over and over again. And I can't do it right. And finally it just gets so horrible. I wake up and it just gets really horrible.
That's an interesting message there, Kayla, huh?
Yes, there is. Elaine, when I work with people that have dreams like this, most commonly, it's recurring like this because it's a reminder to ask for help from others. And you can ask for help from the other side and from other people in your life. And what it's trying to show you is that, first of all, you do have to ask for it. So even in the dream, if you can be aware in the dream when you can't find it or fix the problem, to stop the dream if you can and be aware that it's happening and ask whether it's someone on the other side, that, you know, a spirit guide or loved one or anyone that you trust, what you call God or the universe, to say, please help me find this or fix this problem. I realize that, you know, that I can ask for help and be shown. And usually when that happens, if you can ask, then someone does appear in the dream or a light appears, something, and helps you solve the problem. And it's usually connected to things in your life, too, that it's time to reach out to different people if you're not getting the help that you need from others right now, to make a different network of people or those that can give you help. And it doesn't mean like you're helpless and you can't do it, but we all do better when we have people in our lives and enrich it and bring new perspectives and conversations and help. And so sometimes those dreams are telling us to check our tribe and see if the people in there are giving us what we need or if we need to reach out and bring some new people that are here on Earth into our lives and some on the other side.
Kayla, sometimes if somebody's having some kind of health issue, will they dream about their affliction, their illness, and the dream will help them?
Yes, there's a lot of studies about that. And there's some researchers now taking that very seriously, that people do dream about very serious illnesses. And I don't dream as much about the illnesses. I see them more in the aura when I'm reading someone's aura, where it's in the auric field, in their mental or emotional field before it goes into the physical body.
Something's broken in the aura or something. Do you see that?
Yeah, you can see it before it comes into the physical. If you can catch it in time, you can sometimes help before it manifests into the physical. But a lot of people who are having the physical problem themselves will have dreams and know, go to the doctor and know something's wrong.
We have texts. We take your tweets. Tom has one back in L.A. What do you have, Tom?
Hey, Kayla, this is a text from Janice in Reno, Nevada. I saw a movie where people were dying in their dreams. Is this possible? And if so, what do they actually die from?
Well, I would need a little more information about whether she knew the people or, you know, that people do have what I call the global consciousness dreams, where they dream about things that happen, natural disasters or man-made wars and battles and things that happen and people die. So without knowing too much more about the dream there, I can say it is possible that people, you know, dream about those things that happened before times. And, you know, I had a dream about Katrina, like I was saying, where I saw people that were suffering and going through that. So sometimes we do, or like the children in Wales that I was talking about earlier that kind of dreamed of that coming for their school.
Would there be some kind of sinister program going on by governments where people can enter somebody else's dream state and maybe try to give them a heart attack or something like that?
I've, you know, heard of those studies, and some of that even, you know, I've known some people and that talked about, you know, involved with like Project Stargate and things like that and remote viewing. And certainly there are lots of attempts to do that. How successful they are, I don't know.
Because some people who have died in their sleep, and they do, how do we know that their dream wasn't so horrible that they just died of shock or something like that?
It's interesting. I think there's been some research done about that. And even though we can have things like that that are scary in our dreams, when they seem to look into it, it seems the body goes into a more relaxed state even when you're having the dream that you don't. I know people talk about the dream if you're falling and things like that, but I can tell you I've fallen and hit the ground, and I'm still here.
And you're still here.
Yeah.
That's right. You're still here. But I have had dreams, though, where my legs are running and running and running, and I'm not going anywhere. Is that about my life? Or I mean, I would have those dreams when I was a kid.
Yeah, and you know, running is a common one. Like I said, whether you're running for something or you're just running to something, and that's something unresolved, you know, that you're not dealing with, that you keep. You know, we think we can hide things, right? We think we can hide our thoughts or our emotions and push them down. They're going to come out a different way, whether they come out in a blast of anger that makes no sense over something silly, you know, and the person's like, "What is your problem?" Or whether you have it in a dream where you're just running and you can't. It's just showing that we're pushing down, and it pops out one way or the other. Eventually, we have to deal with it. And depending on what age you were, George, when you were having that, you know, we could go back and look at what was going on in your life,
right,
what you didn't want to deal with, and it's all connected.
Well, how about this too? I mean, I graduated from the University of Detroit. I got a degree in broadcast journalism. I would have dreamed, and when I was going to school, full-time during the daytime for 2 years. And then I got a radio job, and that radio job required me to work daytime. So I switched my credits, Kayla, to nighttime, and I still got my degree in 4 years because I promised my father I would do that. He was really concerned that I wasn't going to get it on time or get it at all because I was working at a radio station and a TV station, and I loved it. But I promised him. I says, "Dad, I will get my degree in 4 years. I promise you." I had 2 more years to go, and I did it. I did it. I jammed my credits at night, and everything worked out. I would then start having dreams that I was one credit short from getting my degree. And, Kayla, I would wake up in a cold sweat going, "Oh, my God, I didn't graduate." And, of course, I knew I did. I would have to take my diploma from the University of Detroit, put it on my nightstand so I could see it whenever I had one of those dreams that I woke up. Now, what the heck was that all about?
Well, if it was just you and I, I'd ask you some more personal questions. But generally, a dream like that has to do with your relationship with your father and feeling one credit short. And did you...
That's kind of funny because every time I, you know, God rest his soul, and I loved him dearly, every time I got a job, he wanted to know when I was going to get the next hire job. Mm-hmm. Every time. And I'm wondering if that's part of it.
It is. That was feeling that is that you weren't what he wanted to be. You know, he was putting.
Well, I was what he wanted me to be, but he wanted me to be more.
Right.
And so, you know, if I got a producer's job, he'd want to know when I was going to be the executive producer. And, you know, I'd come home one day and say, "Dad, they just named me the executive producer." And then he said, "Oh, that's great. When are you going to be the news director?" You know, and it was constantly that way. I guess he pushed me because I can't stop now.
Yeah. Well, you can, actually, George. Don't ever say you can't. You could.
I don't want to.
Well, that's different. If you've taken it and made it a positive thing, that's fantastic.
Because,
and,
you know, it's me.
You know,
now.
A lot of parents, that's how they parented back then. They would say, "Oh, you got an A, why not an A plus, right?" That was their way of trying to motivate you.
We're gonna come back in a moment with Kayla, her website, her Twitter, her Facebook, all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Her book is called The Awakened Dreamer, and those of you who have been on hold, don't fall asleep and dream, because we're going to wake you up and get to your calls when we come back on Coast to Coast. And, of course, you can follow us and like us on Facebook and Twitter as well, emailing me at george@coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, our final segment with Kayla Ambrose. Kayla, is it easy for people to learn how to interpret dreams if they've never done it before?
I think there's a lot of books out there that help. You can get entire dream dictionaries where you can literally look up any book, you know, any word in a book and find it and get there. And really online, too, you can Google now and it really interprets. So interpreting is probably the easiest part now.
Do you know our friend Rosemary Ellen Guiley? She's very good at dreams, too.
We have the same publisher, actually, with my other books.
Oh, great.
Two books, Spirits of New Orleans, all about, you know, the history of New Orleans and the hauntings, and Ghost Hunting North Carolina. And she writes some for that publisher as well. Yeah.
Good person. Good person.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the dream state, if you had your preference, which kind of dream would you prefer? Intuitive, lucid, which one?
I like lucid because you can try out so many things.
Change the outcome.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go to Dan in Austin, Texas. First time caller for Dan. Dan, I trust things are calmed down there now?
Yes. Thank goodness they apprehended the suspect.
And then he blew himself up.
Austin's a nice town. Yeah, that was pretty incredible.
Oh, it's a beautiful city. I love it. I was there several times. I remembered the bridge where all those bats hang.
Oh, yeah. It's the Congress Bridge.
Yeah.
Yes.
All righty. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hi, Kayla.
Hi, Dan.
I've had a reoccurring dream that's got me quite concerned, but let me describe it to you, and we'll go from there.
All right.
I'm in a room that I'm not familiar with, but this room is completely beautiful. There is, the bed is white. The floor is white. There's mirrors on the wall that are in gold frames. I'm not familiar with the place, but I'm laying there on the bed, and all of a sudden, I notice that there's a little spot of blood on the pillowcase. And I'm like, where did that blood come from? Did I bump a scab or something? And I'm thinking, this room is so beautiful, and here I'm going to mess it up. And all of a sudden, there's a little bit more blood. And I'm thinking, well, gosh, that can't be me. And I check my arms and legs and nothing. And then all of a sudden, there's a little bit more blood, like you cut your finger kind of blood. And I'm thinking, well, gosh, I know it's not me. And then I start worrying. My mind starts worrying about kids, and all my kids are grown. Start worrying about friends. And all of a sudden, there's more blood.
And this is all in the bed, Danny?
Yes, all in the bed.
All right.
And I get real concerned, and I'm kind of almost in a panic, and I go through this, and all of a sudden there is blood enough that it just completely blows my mind. And so I'm in a kind of a panic. And I get up out of this bed, and I'm looking around. I'm thinking, I'm never going to get this clean. I'm in a panic. And I reach up, and the whole back of my head is missing.
Oh.
And I wake up from that dream. And I've had this dream two or three times in the last, I'm thinking, 4 or 5 years. And each time I can't remember. It's like I'm in a new thing.
Does your profession have anything to do with guns or anything like that?
No.
What do you think's going on, Kayla?
How do you feel, Dan, when you wake up from the dream?
I'm just kind of in a panic. I'm thinking, wow, that is
the
wildest dream that I've ever had. Now, I dream quite a bit and quite often. I remember dreams quite well. But I've never had really a reoccurring dream, and I've had that happen two or three times.
And in the dream, you're functioning even though your head's blown off on the back.
Yes, I don't feel a thing. No pain whatsoever. And I'm more concerned about other people in my life, and my kids, my brother, everybody. I'm going, you know, when you see blood, you kind of panic anyway. And it just builds up to that, and I reach up, and the back of my head is missing. I'm like, wow, it's me all along.
Gosh, what's happening to him, Kayla?
Well,
I've never heard of that one.
First, and I can give you, without talking to you more, if I was working with you, we'd go into other things that are happening in your life. But when you see blood in a dream, it's your life force. It's your energy. It's your vitality. It's life itself. And so you notice it first as a drop, and then it gets bigger and bigger. The other thing that's really to focus in this dream is when you finally figure out where it's coming from, it's from the back of your head, and it's a little bit of a surprise to you. And so what this indicates is there's usually something, and a lot of times bloody dreams like that are emotional upheaval, things that we're, you know, keeping inside. And the fact that it's coming from the back of your head, it is like that you're not fully aware, almost that someone else has done something to upset you, or it came from out of the blue or a surprise, like getting hit in the back of the head when you don't see the person coming up. So it could be dealing with something emotionally. The reason why I feel that, too, is because the room is so pristine with the white linen and all you described it as beautiful, showing that you're kind of in a spiritual state. So you're being taken to a place where you're being allowed to safely let go and release this emotional intensity behind it. It's almost similar to being like a dream of being stabbed in the back, where someone may have, you felt betrayed in that way or surprised you with something. And the space that you're in is actually very comfortable and beautiful. The other side trying to give you a safe space to release it, and in a calm way, that it's first a drop and then a trickle, you know, as you're releasing it out. So if you could try to work on being lucid in that dream, you could ask for someone else to come into the dream, ask them to help you through it, to explain, to show you what it is you're trying to release. But it's recurring because there is help from the other side trying to help you release that. And like I said, if we were working together, we could go through some of that, maybe what it may be, an emotional thing or, you know, or with someone.
Is it better that it's his blood as opposed to somebody else?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Because it's showing something within him that, you know, that he's working to let go. And blood is very much life force. And so it's something that affected his life on a, you know, on an emotional level.
Good luck, Dan. Keep in touch. Next up, let's go to Shani in Los Angeles. Hi, Shani. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. This is such an awesome subject for me. I'm so glad I got in. So I wanted to mention that I started recording my dreams into my voice memo.
Okay.
Because it's just so much quicker than writing, and then going back and listening to them is amazing. So I highly recommend everybody does that. It's a really great way to document your dreams. And I have this I visit spaceships, and some of them are the same. Like, I've been back and forth to the same ones over the past few years, repeated, like, and met with beings there. Like, one dream was the Syrian Council, and that was what I called them. Once it was Metatron. Once it was Archangel Zadkiel. I don't even know, you know, some of these names. And we'll start, like, when I'm recording the dream in the morning, I'll say something like, that's Ross. Or like, and then I have to look it up, and it's like Hebrew. And it's just, I feel like I'm just getting these downloads, you know, from, I feel like I'm not being abducted, but like my consciousness is being invited.
All right, let's find out one thing here on the spaceships that she sees. What is that all about, Kayla?
Spaceships, when we dream about a vehicle of any kind like that, is really just a way to gather the energy and harness it so it can be delivered very quickly and succinctly. So when we dream, we're open to communication from the other side. And when I say the other side, that's a big place. That's a lot of, you know, outside of the earth here. So many people have similar dreams like that, where they are contacted by other beings and entities, and information is given to them in a safe way. And she described a lot of different entities there, from Metatron and
sure. The
angelic realm to, you know, alien beings. So it sounds like she's open to receiving communication and has given that an intention in one form or another to receive information from different types of beings. And they may show it in a spaceship type form to use it as a way to facilitate and to direct that energy, but it's not necessary to even see the vehicle unless it helps the person in some way.
Let's go to Joe, Long Island, New York, east of the Rockies. Joe, go ahead.
Kayla, very soothing voice. I want to ask you, if you look at Einstein at the time, you know, in the realm of physics, I mean, he seemed to leapfrog everybody else and find shortcuts like E equals MC2. So I'm wondering, with dreams, can you find these shortcuts to information, or like an information explosion? Like, I'm wondering if Einstein somehow accessed dreams to get to some of this stuff.
If you look at the interviews with him, he admits that E equals MC squared actually came to him in a dream. And he practiced what I talked about, those daydreams where that you would set it for 10 minutes. And back then they didn't have smartphones to set the timer for 10 minutes. So they would hold a copper ball in their hand and sit in a chair. And they would be working on a question like that and would activate their dreams to say, I'm looking, you know, to figure out this problem. Show me a solution. And they knew they might fall asleep while they were trying to meditate. So they would hold a copper ball in their hand, and when they fell asleep and went too deep into sleep, their hand would relax, the ball would drop on the hard floor, and the noise would wake them up so they could wake up and remember what they were daydreaming and then falling asleep and just dreaming and get those answers. So that's why they would do that, because if you don't get the answer in about 10 minutes, you're probably not going to get it at that time. Einstein, Tesla.
Da Vinci. I bet he had dreams too.
Da Vinci, Edison, they all practiced the act of daydreaming like that, absolutely.
Kathleen's in Philadelphia. Let's get a couple more calls in. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Hi. First, I'd like to really thank you for the blessings of the gifts of these shows that you bring to us. It's like amazing. And if you could, in the future, could you play your version of Sounds of Silence? Kayla, my brother was murdered in 1971, April. And at the age of 24, and I've been going through a bad time for some period now, and I keep praying to him and asking him, does he hear me, does he hear me? Last September, he finally came to me in a dream, and I consider it a visitation because he was there in the dream, and he was above me, and he was surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of stars, and I could feel myself being lifted, and I was in the air, and I asked him, Jackie, are you coming for me? Is that why you're here? Are you coming for me? And after the dream, and in the dream, I was so elated. It was a feeling like I never felt before. And I was wondering what else you could tell me.
That's the difference, like I was explaining, when you really get visited by someone on the other side. It's just a different feeling of them being there and connecting with you. And so that's different than just having a dream about missing him. So you felt that. I would look at the date of when that happened to see what significance there might be. And now that you've connected with him at that level, you can now begin to focus on your dreams and ask him to come into your dream state and communicate more with you when he can.
So these recurring dreams, you can get more and more information out of them as they keep coming, right?
Yes, and you can program it by saying, hey, Jackie, I have a specific question, and ask that question and ask him to come into the dream and to provide guidance or an answer or to communicate with you, and say, if you can't do it in the dream, find a way to show it to me sometime throughout the next day. And it's best if you keep it to one specific question.
All right, let's go to Devin, truck driving in Virginia. Hey, Dev, go ahead.
Hey, George. Hey, man. I just wanted to let you know I appreciate you. I drive nighttime. I'm 23, and I team drive with my girlfriend. And I'll tell you what, you keep me up every night.
Thank you, Dev.
Well, hey, so I'll kind of, like, try to sum it up. But my earliest memory, I was about 2 years old in a crib, and I remember this, like, Walmart, you know, the Walmart smiley face coming out of my stomach. And it just kind of bounced around the room laughing, then it dissipated back in my stomach. Well, I had experiences like this leading up to about 15. Like, I used to get, like, visited by these, it'd be dark figures, like, and they just kind of zoom around the room, like, whispering, could never hear what they were saying. I used to see things, and then at about, like, 13 years old, for about a two-year span, I would get this same nightmare every well, it seemed like at least every single night, I'd almost be afraid to go to sleep sometimes. And I would just fall into this, like, levels of, it would start off, I'd be in a room, and then all of a sudden I'd get dragged to a corner. And then as soon as, like, I reached almost, like, a peak fear, it switched to another level. And it just, and there is about four levels it would go to until one day I had woke up at, like, about 15 years old. I woke up. And, you know, it was one of those things where I woke up and I should have been getting ready for school, but I laid my head back down. And what's weird about these dreams is it wasn't like you fall asleep. It's like something would grab a hold of your soul and suck you into this, like,
voice. Were you scared during these dreams, Dev?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, like, I don't blame you. We're almost out of time. I'm going to recommend that you send Kayla an email through her website at coasttocoastam.com. Just look for the show recap and the guest for the day. Kayla, thank you for being on the program. Really appreciate it. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.